What's up? Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Cleveland, Ohio, on the commute talking real estate, commercial, residential, multifamily apartment buildings, buying, selling, leasing, property management, and consulting. Segment two on the commute. This is probably a day after, just recapping what happened yesterday. We evaluated a 38-unit apartment building for rehab. It's under contract with one of our clients, and we are now doing our due diligence. So trying to get estimates for the rehab. We have a good idea of what the estimate would be, but then now it's a matter of getting bids from general contractors, plumbers, electricians, and HVAC folks. So we will see. Some of the units were down to the studs rehab, and others may be turnkey with just cosmetic fixes. So we went through 24, I believe, of the 38 units yesterday. So most of the units are not occupied because the government entity that owned the property stopped fixing up the property once they lost their funding from HUD. So, you know, and then they turned to liquidate the property. And our client luckily won the bid. They're paying cash, and they have experience in low-income housing in other states. So, and also we are their local property management provider, which normally CMHA does not consider out-of-state investors, but because we are managing the property, they. And we had a good relationship with the listing agent, and they knew our reputation. Then they were able to convince their board of allowing the offer to be considered. So all of that, I think, lends itself to, you know, again, what we talked about in other podcasts about building relationships and keeping a good reputation, and, you know, just doing the things that you need to do in order to build your business. So was at a sports clinic for my sons yesterday. It was a basketball clinic, and an investor friend, colleague, acquaintance of mine was there with his son, and luckily I brought in my laptop to do some work, and you know, he just mentioned that he just refied an apartment building and has money from the refi. He did really well on the refi and pulled a lot of cash out to reinvest and leverage to buy other investments. And it's burning a hole in his pocket. So I said, hey, I have this mixed-use commercial building in North Royalton, which that's where he lives. And now he's interested. So you never know, you know, as far as marketing commercial properties, got to get the word out there. And that just gives me more motivation and fuel to push out more marketing material to any brokers, investors that I have built on my list. And this just solidifies the notion, and what I need to do is increase my marketing in order to attract buyers and sellers, and you know, in order to build my business. So that will happen. I'm waiting on a decent commission check that should be coming on a deal that will be closing hopefully in the next few weeks. So we will get that moving, and hopefully, you know, by June, start our in full force the marketing campaign. I'm gonna have to, you know, put some money up front to have an intern of mine start working on that and focusing on that, and hopefully we will reap the results by the third and fourth quarter, and then by the by 2020 we're getting into now, we will have set up a very good 2020. So everything we're doing now, setting up the next 6 to 12 months, so really need to get things going as far as that goes. Also went to a listing appointment yesterday, in an area that's appreciating. So when he has some work to do on a bathroom and a kitchen that he's remodeling on the second floor, it's a two-family home, and I suggested that they wait to list it until everything's done, because the market on who is going to buy that property, they're going to be folks that want it turnkey, because we're going to be listing it at the top of the market, probably the top 5% in price for that neighborhood, and hopefully we will get the price that we're asking. So again, I want to try to leverage that and make this area, because I'm looking to invest in this area also, to get that going. So as far as our own investments, and then learning more about this area and so on and so forth. So next, I got to set up appointments with economic development directors around Cleveland, just to build those relationships and see what opportunities for commercial real estate, whether it's buying, selling, or leasing in that particular neighborhood. So that's what I would suggest. Talk to as many city officials as you can, councilmen, mayors, economic development directors, anybody who will listen, and anybody who has a pulse on the commercial real estate in the neighborhoods and farm areas that you're dealing with. So with that, I'm going to end this segment. We have portfolios of duplexes for sale in the Cleveland market, west side of Cleveland. So if you're interested, call me, 440-941-3692, or hit me up on Instagram, MikeMendoza216. I'll leave the link in the description. Until then, keep thinking, keep learning, but most importantly, just keep doing. What's up? Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Cleveland, Ohio. On the commute, talking real estate, residential, commercial, multifamily apartments, apartment buildings, buying, selling, leasing, property management, construction management, and consulting. Sorry, it's been a while since my last episode. Been really busy. Have 3 closings this month. One a commercial property, others, well, I guess you can consider them all commercial. They're all investment properties. So trying to get those properties closed this month, and hopefully those will go off without a hitch. We have an eviction hearing this morning. It's talking a little bit about professionalism and communication. The attorney's office that we're using, this is a newer attorney's office that we're starting to use. They've been around for a while, but I've been using one pretty exclusively, and they've gotten really busy, so we had to find another attorney to help us with evictions. Hopefully this will be the last eviction in a while. I don't have any other properties that I'm directly managing with problem tenants at this time, but let's knock on wood. But talking about professionalism, when we sent the file over to get processed at the courthouse for a hearing date, it took them a couple of weeks to file, which, they should file within 1 or 2 days, because these are time-sensitive cases, trying to get people evicted. Now this tenant has been in this property for over 3 months now, paying rent free, and they know that they don't have to leave. Because these are professional tenants, they've been evicted before. We inherited these tenants, we didn't screen them and get them in. They were put in by the previous owner, property management. And you see what happens when you just stick people in to a property. So they were paying rent fine, and then all of a sudden they stopped paying rent, and then they refused to pay rent. So, you know, we're trying to get them out. Hopefully that we get a judgment today, and then we get a move-out date for this property. This is one of the problem properties in a portfolio that's under community control with the city. So, you know, hopefully we will get those offloaded, and then we can move on with our lives and try to find better investments for our investor. But at the same time, you know, within any, you know, communication is key when you're running a client service business. You know, even if you don't have an answer, just acknowledging to the client that you're working on it and you'll get them an answer as soon as possible just helps to show them that they're not being ignored or you're working on it. And they understand most of the time these things aren't instant, but they need to know what's going on with their business. So a little tip, advice on, you know, just getting back with your clients. You know, I can't say that I'm perfect either, but this is one of the things that can make or break your business is communication. Do you think I'm going to refer these people over to somebody or one of my investors? Probably not, just because they didn't communicate. We've been asking about the filing was 2 weeks after I submitted the paperwork to them, and then we didn't get a hearing date until I went and looked to verify when the hearing date was set for. So anyway, hopefully they probably have a bunch of other clients that are prioritized, but I just don't see how a business can grow when they're communicating like that. So we're evaluating a 16-unit apartment building. Nothing against all contractors, but you know, this contractor that we had come and estimate the rehab just looked at the property and said, no, this is not the kind of work that we do. Even though we described the job and the situation as completely and as best as possible, I think, you know, construction companies just look at projects and just say, we're not going to do it just because they don't feel like it, which is their prerogative, but doesn't do them any good by wasting our time and, you know, not being prepared and having us meet them at a property just to tell them, no, we don't do this kind of work. So that was pretty discouraging. But we will find somebody else, just as we always do. And what you need to do is have 5 to 10 different trades and contacts for each trade because of that. Because people don't have the capacity, people aren't reliable. So you always have a backup. In our case, when it comes to contractors, we have a minimum of 5 substitutes, and if not more. So, you know, just never rely on one person or contractor unless they have a consistent track record with you. And if they don't, then your expectation should be pretty low when it comes to reliability and quality and all of the above when it comes to anybody that you're hiring, even employees. You know, my philosophy is, you know, they don't have equity in your business. They just want a paycheck. They just want to do the minimum to get paid. And some people have varying degrees, you know, of engagement in your business, but you can't expect them to be as engaged as you are because they have no equity in the company. They don't own the company. They are just looking for a paycheck most of the time. But if you find that person that really cares about your business, you know, they're probably not going to be around very long, because if they do work that way, they're probably really effective, and they're going to move on or start their own business because they know that they have the capabilities to do that. So just have the proper expectations when it comes to employees, contractors, or anybody else that you're hiring for wages, that they're not going to, or they're going to be motivated mostly by getting their paycheck and just doing the minimum that it takes to get that paycheck. So have things in place to encourage people or hold people accountable more likely so that if they want to get paid, then they have to perform. So, and that's really your only leverage on these folks. So I will come back, talk about our closings on the next segment, but just wanted to update you on what's happening, and we'll talk to you here later on today in the next segment. What's up? Mike Mendoza, Fast Real Estate Services, Cleveland, Ohio, on the commute, talking real estate, commercial, residential, multifamily apartment buildings, buying, selling, leasing, property management, construction management, and consulting. Been a lot going on. Sorry I haven't been on the podcast. This is a few days later from the last segment, so just trying to get things going. Again, got to focus on working on commercial listings, which means I have to network with business owners who own buildings and investors who own buildings to see if they want to sell or they want to buy. So lately I've been doing a lot with 1-4 unit investment properties, so trying to get that out there. Before I go into that, I just wanted to give a little of my experience when it comes to using help, assistance, whether it's administrative assistance or contractors doing construction. We've talked about this in segments before, but you really can't have any expectations for these people. What I mean by that is that you are running your own business, you are vested in the success of that business, and when somebody comes and works for you for money, that's all they're working for. They're trying to, that they don't have a vested interest in your business. They might not give a shit about your business. All they care about is getting paid. And so if you can, you know, you're basically making a trade for their services, your money, and that should be it. And don't expect that they're going to do a good job. So because, you know, the people, as in the nature of people, not that they're trying to be steal your money or do some things to intentionally hurt your business, but they're just trying to do the minimum to get paid. And sometimes that minimum is great, and it adds a lot of value to your business, but you got to understand that you can't expect any more than the minimum, and whatever that minimum is that you agree upon to trade that money. And then the money is the leverage, right? So if something's not done to what you expect it to be as the minimum, then you just don't pay those people and you go on and use somebody else. You got to establish that, you know, there's consequences for not doing the minimum, you know, and that minimum should obviously fit your standards, and the money that you're paying should be commensurate with your expectations. So, you know, I've just had a few incidences of contractors not doing what they were supposed to, cutting corners and then expecting to get paid. And, you know, sometimes you feel bad for these people because you know that they're desperate for money, but you can't pay them because they didn't do the job, basically. And then you are constantly checking over their shoulder. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm paying somebody to do it. Why should I have to worry about checking up on things? Well, you know, it's your business. You got to inspect what you expect. And if you don't inspect, then people are just going to run rampant on just doing whatever they want and or whatever their standard is, and then hoping to get paid. And sometimes you'll pay them because, you know, they might do a job 90% of to your satisfaction, and then you get into a mindset of, well, that's good enough. And so, and then they keep pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope. So the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, when you put trust in somebody and they lose that trust, then it's really difficult, especially for me, to ever have confidence in that person. So I found out that, and I've got hard evidence that basically somebody stole from me, where they were supposed to do a service. One of my businesses is reselling, and they basically took the product and sold it themselves on the side and told me that the product was lost in shipping. So, you know, when you see evidence that it was shipped and a review was given on that item, you know, why would somebody ever give a review for an item that they never received, you know? So it was on this basically the same day that I was looking for this item, and you know, I believe they didn't think that I was going to find it, but I found it on accident. Actually, I was looking at some things and then just happened upon it. I'm like, wait a minute, that's the item that was lost, and now all of a sudden it's being sold on this person's website. So, you know, that in and of itself, and they blatantly lied to me about, you know, what happened with that product. They basically sold it and kept the money. And remember, I paid for this item, which was a pretty significantly costing item, and tried to pawn it off on the United States Postal Service that it was their fault that it got lost. So I had to refund my buyer, and I'm out money, and they made money. So that just really sticks really bad with me, and, you know, I just can't trust them, especially in business. You know, it's not that people are bad, whatever. There's people have reasons for doing things, but, you know, in my book, or, you know, if you're trying to build a relationship with me, you basically just broke that bridge. And so there's plenty of other people that I could work with, and you know, it's unfortunate for them because I was trying to help them out, and you know, they do that kind of stuff. So just want to reiterate that your expectations can't be anything higher than zero for any of your employees, subcontractors, and, you know, you just hope that money is leveraged enough to get what you need done as far as services or tasks or things that need to be done by somebody else other than you for your business. So so that's that on that front. But we're just, you know, we're continuing to look at different projects to get into as far as an investment, a real estate investment standpoint for our own group. So, you know, again, going through the motions of getting estimates on construction on properties that need construction and rehab. And so, you know, we will see how that all plays out, and then we do our analysis. Remember, you make your money when you buy the property, not when you sell it. So you've got to try to do as much due diligence in an efficient manner as quickly as possible so you can make a decision, but again, not rushing into a deal just to get a deal. So there's plenty of deals out there. You just got to work them and move on the best ones. So with that, I'm going to let you go. We will see you on the next episode. I really appreciate you listening up to this point. Hopefully you're getting some value out of just my documentation of what I'm doing. So, but until then, keep thinking, keep learning, but most importantly, just keep doing.